Now we know what the real scandal was, Lee.
Okay.
Now we know what the real scandal was. It wasn't that Joe Biden was demented and senile. Everybody knew that, except the mainstream media who lied to cover it up. But why lie to cover that up? Because the real scandal was who was actually running the country. And buried deep within Jake Tapper's book is the real scandal. Here's Alex Thompson, who co-wrote the book with Jake Tapper, laying out the first part of it on Fox News, which is kind of interesting that, you know, this author of this book's on Fox News going, yeah, this is breaking news. Fox News, to their credit, covered Biden's dementia. So Alex Thompson, I guess, kind of acting like, wow, this is breaking news. Not on Fox News. It's not. It's actually really old news, but whatever. We'll roll the tape.
You quote a longtime Biden aide basically admitting he shouldn't be running again. They said to you on page 85, he just had to win and then he could disappear for 4 years. He'd only have to show proof of life every once in a while. His aides could pick up the slack. Who would have been running the White House in a second Biden term?
Well, this person went on to say that when you're voting for a president, you're voting for the aides around him. But these aides were not even Senate confirmed aides. These are a White House aides. These were unelected people. And one of the things that really I think comes out in our reporting here is that if you believe, and I think a lot of these people do sincerely believe, that Donald Trump was and is an existential threat to democracy, you can rationalize anything, including sometimes doing undemocratic things, which I think is what this person is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Wow. But then it gets crazier. Kayleigh McEnany on Fox News reads from the book.
So the point was made that these are not Senate-confirmed aides. Listen to these two sentences, allegedly from a cabinet secretary to Alex Thompson. I've never seen a situation like this before with so few people having so much power. They would make huge economic decisions without calling Treasury Secretary Yellen. These aides seem to be the ones making the calls. That's not the way democracy works.
Well...
Wow. Okay. Because we were told the disaster that ensued from these policies. If we didn't love Bidenomics, we were crazy. There was something wrong with us. And the problem was actually, remember, Lee, that we just couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
And if we were all as smart as Joe Biden and Janet Yellen, then we could understand the great things that they had done for us, 9% inflation.
Yeah,
so
transitory inflation.
Transitory, yes. And, you know, it was great. It was wonderful. And now we find out the whole time the aides were making these decisions. They were cutting off the cabinet secretaries. They were not consulting with the, you know, economic minds. They were just out there doing it. No wonder it was a disaster. Now, who was this? The Politburo. The Politburo. We now know this is what they called themselves. This is what everyone around them called them. This is what people in D.C. who darn well knew this was going on, that Biden wasn't running the country. This is what they called the people around Biden, the Politburo, the people actually running the White House for Joe Biden. Who was it? Longtime Biden advisors Mike Donilon, Steve Ricchetti, Bruce Reed. So these are the people who are pulling the levers day by day. Ron Klain, who at one point was chief of staff, but also family members, such as First Lady Jill Biden and the president's son, Hunter.
Convicted felon.
Convicted felon. And yesterday, the big news was it was scattered across two New York Post stories. And we ended the show with it as it was breaking. I want to start with the show with it today because it's so important. I did the podcast on it yesterday. Two major bombshells yesterday. One of them about Hunter Biden and how the FBI and its chief censor, Elvis Chan, an incredibly powerful person at the height of his power, who could, with a single phone call, get thousands of posts wiped right off social media. And we finally have the internal, uncensored dialogue with Elvis Chan, where he learns from an FBI attorney that not only is the laptop real, but on the laptop is evidence of Hunter Biden's felony-level money laundering crimes. And you can see in this chat that he's having, it's electronic, so we have a copy of it now, Elvis Chan going, oh no, there's an active money laundering investigation. The evidence is on the laptop. I'll get on it right away. In other words, this isn't going to see the day, light of day. I'm going to cover it up. They did. And at the same time, Bill Barr, we now know, if I was going to haul anyone before Congress right now, I'm hauling Bill Barr before Congress. Because that guy oversaw all of this under Trump's administration. Under Trump's administration, the busy bees at the FBI were busy covering up the Hunter Biden money laundering criminal investigation that had been opened by honest actors inside the IRS who were being persecuted and gagged. So all of this is conveyed to Elvis Chan, the censor. And what is his reaction? He's going to get on it right away. Make sure nobody knows. He writes, oh, crap. As he finds out, wow, Hunter Biden is under felony level money laundering investigation. Oh, crap, he writes. Okay, it ends here. Now, the irony of that statement is that later on in the day, Elvis goes to a meeting with Twitter and with other FBI officials and has them censor the Hunter laptop story, which is really censoring Hunter's crimes. Okay, Hunter's money laundering crimes. Twitter doesn't know there's an active federal felony money laundering investigation into Hunter. By the way, the money being laundered is the Chinese money. It's bribery. It's bribes. That's another felony, just, you know, for keeping track. That's why he had to launder it. He couldn't pay taxes on it because if he did, if he admit he got it and the Biden family got it, well, that's another crime. He didn't register as a foreign agent. He can't do that. Other problem the IRS had already clued in on, that money didn't just stop with Hunter. Joe got 10%. If you want to see that interview, by the way, with the whistleblowers, I've attached it in the sources section of yesterday's Battleground America podcast. 15 minutes, really great. I should retweet it. It's a really great interview with Catherine Herridge, where the censored and gagged IRS investigators lay out. Okay, the reason I'm putting all this out there, yesterday in the New York Post, we find out the FBI covered this up. So Hunter not only gets away with felony level money laundering with the help of the FBI, everybody honestly writing about it or about the laptop gets censored by Elvis. And all of this, so Hunter and Jill, who also profited here, according to the IRS whistleblowers, illegally, are now running the country. They're running the country. It's them, Donilon, and a handful of others. They're making major economic decisions, too, without consulting outside the circle.
Well, you could say that they were doing what they were paid to do, Tara.
You're right. And I did this yesterday. I just started this. You start going, your mind goes down this road. Wow. Okay, let's just think about the last week, shall we? Scott Bessent, who's negotiating for Trump right now. And remember, they just met with the Chinese, right? And they say to the Chinese, look, you guys agreed to a trade framework with Trump, you know, in the first administration, you agreed to it, and then you abandoned it. You didn't uphold your end. And they said, yeah, well, the Biden administration didn't make us, so we just gaffed it off. Well, that takes on a whole new look when you realize Hunter, Jill, and Joe were on the Chinese payroll. Lee, we have had our first Chinese Communist Party presidency. The whole time they're telling us, oh my gosh, we narrowly escaped rule by Russia through Trump. China's running a country. Effectively. You tell me what anti-China policy came out of this administration, because I can't think of one. From the balloon to Bessent last week, just jaw hanging open as the Chinese are like, yeah, well, we didn't, you know, the Biden administration didn't make us comply with this. Of course they didn't. You paid them $30 million. That right there, Lee, this is the scandal. This is what Jake Tapper was covering up and everybody else. Not just that Biden was demented. It was so no one would ask the next question. Okay, who's running the country? That's the scandal right there. Do you remember how they gaslit us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the economic decisions were terrible. Oh, that inflation, that was caused by Vladimir Putin. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Putin inflation or whatever or something. So all of this is incredible. They need to haul all of these people before Congress. And again, the one person who I really think is going to get away with it here is Bill Barr. Because remember, he confessed in a television interview after the election that he hid evidence of Hunter's crimes, i.e. he hid the investigations into Hunter so that voters wouldn't be influenced by it. He hid it from senators who requested it and had a right to see it. That takes on a whole new spin when you understand there was an active money laundering investigation, Chinese bribes. Bill Barr covered it up so we wouldn't know. And he's pretending here, Bill Barr is pretending, well, you know, there's this longstanding Justice Department policy of, you know, we don't launch investigations right before an election. Well, it had been ongoing since 2019. We know that now. Bill Barr lied. He had plenty of time to get this out there. Plenty of time. Remember, it's only supposed to be the 6 months before the election. Well, let's do the math. 2019 is a year before the election. He covered it up, including from senators who wanted the information. Buried it. So it took Elvis Chan, the FBI, the profoundly corrupt Trump GOJ, which was working against Trump the whole time, to bury Hunter's crimes and put him in the ultimate position of power along with Jill. That's the story. And the only person who's getting it right this morning is Miranda Devine at the New York Post in her article, FBI agents who covered up Hunter Biden laptop in 2020 must not get away with it. Why? The statute of limitations is coming up. It's getting ready to expire. They're going to get away with it. Unbelievable times we live in. We're just getting started this morning. So, by the way, Lee, do you remember all the pictures of Joe? If you go back and look at pictures of Joe, you look at the video. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed something? Who's around him? It's a lot of 25-year-old girls. Yeah. 25, 27, 23. Very young, like shockingly young. Were they the ones making the economic decisions and then blaming Putin when it didn't work out? Or were they just, you know what they were all doing? They weren't economic decisions. They were looting the treasury. That's what they were doing. Printing money at maximum capacity to hand out to their friends. That's what they were doing. Good morning on this. Yes, it's already Wednesday, and that's the good news, right? Just make it to noon. You're halfway through the day. Okay. So NPR is suing Donald Trump. He is violating their First Amendment rights. How is he doing that? It's weird. He's saying we shouldn't fund them. Okay, this is going to be a test. It's going to be a great test. Here's what's about to go down over the next few months. He's just issued an executive order defunding NPR and PBS and a couple of other things. Judge strikes it down. Says, no, we need a Politburo. We need Soviet-level propaganda because that's what it is, total lies. And you will fund it. Okay, Trump's budget director, guy by the name of Russ Voigt, I don't know how he says it, has already laid out there are going to be 9 to 12 rescission bills. What does that mean? Takes 51 votes in the Senate, 51% in the House. The first one is going to be a major test called, are you a Republican? Yes or no? Put an X in the box here. The first one is going to have some DOGE cuts. It's going to defund NPR and it's going to defund PBS. We'll see. We'll see who's really a Republican. They can't do it yet because they've got to get the big, beautiful bill full first through. Then after that, they'll start cutting by rescission. It's called rescission. At the same time, there's another legal battle brewing between Trump and the GAO for impoundment, meaning Trump doesn't need to go to Congress. He can just cut this stuff. Okay, there's two key Supreme Court cases here. One is Andrew Jackson going way all the way back to the founding. He won. He got to make cuts. He didn't want to spend some money that Congress allocated. Supreme Court said he didn't have to. Fast forward to the modern era. The Supreme Court's been largely corrupted and makes really weird decisions. Nixon tried the same thing, figuring Jackson got away with it. He didn't want to fund the Clean Water Act. So he just withheld the funds. He lost badly. 08 and saying he didn't have impoundment power. So the plan here with the big, beautiful bill, which will break the back of the American taxpayer, is who cares if Congress is overspending? They're all looking to Trump to go back and cut it later. That's the plan. That's what they hope will happen. But the question is, can he get 51 votes in the Senate for any of this stuff? Defund NPR, defund PBS. I don't know. We'll find out. But that's what's getting set up here. And NPR claims, and Scott Pelley hysterically repeats at Wake Forest, that the media is undergoing censorship because Trump won't fund them. Folks, we know what censorship really is. And we're finding out more about it every day. Scott Pelley has never lived through a thing like we have. He's the 60 Minutes whiner, liar, whining at Wake Forest that they're living through some sort of First Amendment apocalypse. No, First Amendment apocalypse is what Tulsi Gabbard just declassified. She's the director of national intelligence. They classified a program to censor off the internet, censor off social media, and debank conservatives who said true things about the Hunter Biden laptop, about COVID, about all of it, whatever they were censoring for this week. And in order to hide the fact they were breaking the law, they classified it. Unbelievable. Scott Pelley is pretending none of that happened. So half the country has actually lived through real Soviet-style censorship. Pelley thinks censorship is when NPR doesn't get funded and PBS doesn't get funded so they can lie. That's the left's version of that. We don't censor them, so they've never actually experienced what we now have. Used to be to find people who've experienced that level of political persecution, you had to go to China or Russia, but now it's MAGA too. And Scott Pelley thinks if you don't fund all of the lying media, then it's censorship. We're going to get into all of this later on as we roll through the show today. What Tulsi Gabbard has declassified, though, is unbelievable. Do not miss this, folks. Do not miss this. After the red speech, remember the one with Biden in the red in the background, the creepy Marine standing there like he's going to come to your house and kick in your door because you said the wrong thing on social media? That one? Biden, his administration, whoever was running it that day, began secretly attaching threat tags to Americans who asked what turned out to be all the right questions and who said what turned out to be all the actually true things. Take a listen.
That when you look at the language of these documents that I've declassified, the Biden administration's designation of potential violent domestic extremists, it really talks about people who may likely turn out to be domestic violent extremists or those who may likely turn to violence because of these specific quote unquote ideologies that they hold. And there's a consistent thread through here that these ideologies that they are designating as turning into potentially violent activities or being manifested in violent activities happen to be those of people who were using their First Amendment rights to oppose certain policies of the Biden administration, those who opposed the COVID vaccine mandates, those who opposed the mask mandates, parents who were concerned that their children going to school may be forcibly vaccinated with the COVID vaccine without the consent or awareness of parents. The list goes on and on, but it's not exclusive to this. You know, people who were opposed to Biden's border policy, for example, could therefore have propensities to join a militia or could become these domestic violent extremists that we're talking about here.
So they were labeled with threat tags, censored, and debanked, including Barron Trump, Melania Trump, and Trump Jr. Crazy, right? Texter writes, hey, Tara, if NPR wins their lawsuit against Trump, does WORD get to have government funding as well? Well, no, we say true things here. I don't need to fund that. But I mean, you know, your point's well taken, though. Where's our government funding? Wait a minute. If I use the Scott Pelley 60 Minutes model, then that means I'm being oppressed if I don't get government funding, right? Isn't that how it works? Well, wonders never cease. You know what? Two things are now connected in nature. It's crazy. I've never seen this in science before. The second trade negotiations begin with China, trade negotiations that, you know, maybe are not so favorable to China. Viruses get out from China. I know, weird, right? Man, that thing just makes a whips around the wet market, and here it comes from China. Folks, did anybody ever think it's strange that these viruses, by the way, there's a new strain of COVID. How convenient is that? Isn't it weird that viruses, new viral outbreaks, right, only come from China now? Data, do you know how big the world is? Have you looked at the map? You're going to tell me there's nowhere else in the world that a viral outbreak could happen but China, the place where inside the Wuhan lab, Senator Rand Paul has told us this, so did former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo when he was Trump's Secretary of State, a place where inside the Wuhan lab, they have multiple They have multiple strains of COVID that have not hit the public yet. That place, China, out of nowhere, comes a new strain. Very scary strain. You should be very scared. Are you scared? Oh, you should be terrified. Right? Says the mainstream media. Headline, highly infectious new COVID strain from China that led to massive spike in hospitalizations has spread to the U.S. Be very, very scared. Hong Kong authorities say COVID-19 cases have spiked to the worst levels in at least a year. After officials announced a significant increase in emergency room visits and hospitalizations in the last month due to the variant. You know, of course, Hong Kong is under, it's a basically Chinese-dominated government. It's basically the CCP speaking. That included 81 severe cases in the past 4 weeks, including 30 deaths. The vast majority of the cases were in adults 65 and up. Last 4 weeks, cool. When did the bulk of Trump's really tough trade sanctions hit China? I mean, yeah, he's been at it since he was sworn in. But I mean, like the 145% tariff, about 4 weeks ago. It's the strangest thing. Like, the only people who can't see that through this are liberal news media reporters. Everybody else can. Everybody else can. So, you know, it's helpful to review now that we have this other new strain of COVID out of nowhere. Actually, China. By the way, you know what's interesting? And I've done many podcasts on this. If you go back to the early 2000s, and you listen to the Chinese generals giving speeches, they tell us what they're going to do. They are going to use weaponized viruses to get the upper hand in global trade. They're very, very clear about it. Then the Democrats gave them, and Fauci and Hunter Biden gave them that weaponized gain-of-function technology, and they're off to the races. So they told us what they were going to do, and they're doing it. But let's review, shall we, since there is suddenly, and very conveniently, a new strain of COVID. Oh, very deadly, more deadly than the last one. Be very afraid. Let's review what happened the last time a COVID strain conveniently got out. Remember this? From Daniel DiMartino, regular commentator on CNBC, CEO of Money Strong.
I will say this much. And if you're listening, write it down. In late November, word had already gotten off of the mainland that there was a virus in Wuhan.
This is 2019.
6 weeks later, the trade truce was signed with an out clause, a very clever out clause that the Chinese made sure was in there.
Made sure it was in there.
Said if there was any kind of act of God pandemic, then they didn't have to make good on what they had committed to buy from the United States. Within days, they announced the first coronavirus. So, did the Chinese know damn well that this thing was running around the world for 6 weeks?
Of course they did.
They shut down.
They are laughing their butts off. So are the Democrats. They're working in tandem again. They always do. So what is going on in the U.S. side of this? The media is whipping the left, the only people who still believe this stuff, into a frenzy. The number three story in the country, Trump administration no longer recommending COVID vaccine for healthy kids and healthy pregnant women, just as the strain comes out of nowhere, i.e. the Wuhan lab, because that's where it came from. They let it out again, conveniently timed to the trade negotiations to scuttle them or at least punish us, whatever. So the left is hysterical about this right now. That's why it's the top trending, top 10 article in the, you know, top 10 story in the country. So now they fear, wow, we got to face COVID without the shot that doesn't work. No, that's not what Kennedy's saying. What he's saying is, for those under 65, we will approve a, you know, mRNA COVID shot after we see the gold standard science that shows two things. Number one, that it works. It doesn't. And number two, that it's safe. So, you know, turn in the data and we'll approve it. What happened when they said that last week? You'd think by now Moderna and Pfizer would have plenty of data. They turned it over. No, Moderna withdrew its application rather than provide data. How is it 2025 and they don't have gold standard data? The thing is, they do internally. I guarantee you they do. Shows it doesn't work. And it's very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. How dangerous are we talking? Well, if you listened to the congressional testimony last week, here is OBGYN Dr. James Thorpe.
In the now infamous Shima Bakuro study published on April 21st, 2021, in the digital version of the New England Journal of Medicine, 21 authors claimed the miscarriage rate was 12.6%, but the raw data revealed an 82% miscarriage rate
COVID
in
shot.
Women vaccinated during the first trimester. This figure mirrors the effects of chemical abortion drugs such as RU486. At least six existing studies, three from CDC, FDA, and two from Pfizer, revealed major breaches in safety signals for COVID-19 vaccines in pregnancy. These findings were ignored. Conversely, countless independent researchers with no...
So they acknowledge a 12% miscarriage rate from the shot. You won't get that? You're pregnant? No, you don't. But it's actually 82%. Kennedy knows they can't prove it safe. He knows they can. So he's like, prove it safe. I'll let you do it. I'll prove it. They can't. And that is where the COVID shot went. And that is why, in part, you suddenly have the hysteria of China releasing it. Folks, this is a game. It's a game the Democrats play in tandem with China. They're probably talking on the phone. Texter writes, from UNC to the CCP, pandemics into infinity. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. Me too, bud. Now, I mean, I saw this yesterday, the new COVID strain, and I busted out laughing. So I saw the headline. It just went by me. And I bet it came out of China. Oh, yeah. So predictable. Folks, you think they'd change it up a little bit, like have it come out of Spain or something? Peru, I don't pick somewhere. Bolivia, I don't know, it sounds good. Do they have wet, but somewhere they have wet markets. It's just like to change it up, go ahead and release it there instead of like China. New strain of COVID out of China. You mean out of the Wuhan lab? Is that what you mean? No, I mean, it's very predictable. In fact, I mentioned this to you over the summer. I said, if Trump gets China on the ropes, he gets elected, gets China on the ropes, they'll release another one. Here you go. This is the warning shot. And we know they have a bunch of them. I mean, former CIA director and former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I could play the audio, but I just don't feel like it this morning. Along with Rand Paul, said, look, they've got a whole bunch of strains in that Wuhan lab. Not just the one that we experienced. So this is just another strain. I think what this is a warning shot. Okay, we're going to release one with maybe a higher kill rate, or we'll tell you it has a higher kill rate because Chinese always lie, as a kind of warning, like, hey, you know, we got some in here that could kill 50%. You don't want to go too hard on us on trade. So what's happening. Highly predictable. They did it last time. Trump had him on the ropes. They released COVID with an out clause. You know the story. Texter writes, Terry, you mean the American-funded biolabs in Wuhan? Texter writes, Terry, I wish we'd just embargo China like we did Cuba. That needs to happen. Folks, ultimately going forward, I don't know if Scott Bessent is just saying this, that, well, we're going to get China to open their markets to us. Well, yeah, until the next Democrat presidency, and then they'll slam shut again. Communist Party still be in charge. It's not a way forward. We should have left those 145% tariffs on China. But, you know, it's okay because 50% will be enough to crush them. We need to gut the CCP. Folks, we need to get, we were well on our way to 15, 20, 30 million unemployed. People were rioting in the streets and setting fire to the factories. That's good. Because we have two choices. We can either collapse the Chinese Communist Party through war, bullets, and blood. I don't want to do it that way. No need to either. Or we could do it through economics. Those are our two choices. Or they're going to be the world's lone superpower. And look what happens when they're not happy. Another COVID strain gets out. You want to live like that? Next 2 decades, 3 decades, 4 decades, 50 years, you want to live like that? I don't want to live like that. We need to finish them off. Just go ahead, finish them off. Don't send mixed signals. Businesses don't know, like, you know, just get, let American businesses pull their supply chains out, redirect them somewhere else. India looks nice this time of year. Make it here. I don't care. Kill the CCP. This cannot be allowed. They are mocking us by releasing another strain. Texture rates, that would be waging war on the world. Well, yeah, that's what they did the first time they released a strain. Because you all know, we know they did it. Texture rates, the American people should wake up and stop buying Chinese crap. Yeah, we need to get the poor Chinese people. And look, I don't blame them. They're slaves. I feel bad for them. We need them in the streets rioting, and we need to get rid of the Chinese Communist Party, or this is never going to end.